Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. We'd open our Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 22. And reading from verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Let us pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning in the most precious name that we know, that of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, having read these austere words which tell us to add to will bring tribulation, bring the plagues, and to take away will have our name taken from the book of life and having no part in that wonderful city that You're preparing for us. Father, help us to reverently and to with fear of God, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Help us to approach Thy word, Father, not adding to or taking from, not being of such a nature as to try to present doctrine with slanted quotes. As Paul said, we use not the word of God deceitfully. So, Father, help us to be able to look at everything that was said, because Jesus even scolded those men on the way to Emmaus. He said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And it is in the nature of man to take the things which will reflect his ideas. But Father, we don't want our ideas. We want Your ideas. So help us this morning, Father, as we approach Thy word, to take a hold of Thy word, to believe Thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I would like to teach on the subject of believing all the word, not just part of it. Because it seems that no matter what side of the fence that you're sitting on, what side of the fence you're taking, it seems that people either add to or they take away from quotes from Brother Branham in order to make fit their little pet doctrines. He commanded us to say what was on the tapes, yet many choose to twist what he said to fit their own theology instead of setting back and saying, "Now, this is what I see to the best of my ability, but, you know, I could be wrong." In fact, a vindicated prophet himself, William Branham, he said, "Now, I could be wrong on that. So why can't we be humble enough to admit the same thing? None of us have all the answers, so why pretend as though we don't? Why pretend as though we do? That doesn't get you nowhere except a showdown one day at the White Throne." The problem is that I can take and show you 16 times where Brother Branham said, "Now, I could be wrong concerning certain things." Not to say he was, but he said, "I could be wrong." And this man, vindicated prophet of God, came with "Thus saith the Lord." So who are we to come along and say that this brother's right and this brother's right? We are all human and capable. Yes, very capable of making mistakes. But what we should never do is throw out our understanding of certain things that come along. Throw out certain quotes and scriptures concerning things that come along because we don't understand it. We should simply say, as Brother Branham did, he said, "I put eternal hell on the shelf because I didn't understand it until God revealed it to me." But see, I think we are guilty in this message of taking a piece here, a piece there, throwing out this because it doesn't fit our skew, and then saying, "Well, we believe everything Brother Branham said." No, we don't. No, we don't. And if your doctrine doesn't line up with all that the prophets have said, leave it alone. From the spoken word's original seed, Brother Branham said, "God never placed signs ahead of His word." Amen. That's a scorcher. God never placed signs ahead of His word. God never they were added for proof of the word. But the word is first to prove it. Elijah said to the woman, bake me a cake first, then watch the miracle happen. Come to the word first and then watch the miracle. The seed word itself is what the Holy Spirit energizes. How can a messenger sent from God just believe some of the scriptures and not all of the word? So there you have it. How can a messenger of God only believe part of the word and not? Now, a few weeks ago, in Sermon 255 in our series, I tried to clear up our understanding of John 14:12 because I said there are two camps in this message concerning that. One camp, which is mainly consisting of the returned ministry camp, in which the deity bunch is there as well. And they placed everything in William Branham, and as a result, they become backslidden in their lives. But apparently, I didn't do such a good job of making myself understood. Although I did talk to Brother Vale about what I preached the same day that I preached it. And he agreed with me fully that the works and the greater works are different. But apparently, as I said, I didn't do such a good job in convincing my brothers overseas because some brothers have misunderstood and criticized what I said. But I reconfirmed last night with Brother Vale, and he said, preach it. Because you see, you preach for results. And the results I'm preaching for is that if the works of Jesus are to be in the believers, what are those works? Jesus was an obedient son. He said the son can do nothing but what he sees the father do, that doeth the son likewise. And that's the results we're preaching for. That's what I want to see in the believers, is an obedient, submitted heart, an emptied out vessel to God so that God can use you. Now, if that is heresy, as some would say, or false, as some would say, they want to put it all in William Branham. That's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want to. But I don't see it that way. I see that he was an example. And Jesus, Brother Branham said, was our example seed. You see, not an example for one man, for a ministry at the end time, but an example for all of us to live the same life. You see, what is happening in this message is one camp, mainly consisting of return ministry and believers and such, they placed everything in William Branham. So that there is nothing in any other ministry, and all you have to do is look at the fruit of that teaching. Many are backslidden, and their lives are not right with God. TVs in the homes, and no time for prayer and reading the Word of God. Why? Because what's the use of trying when you're taught that it's all placed in one man? That he did it all. And the fruits of that teaching has brought shipwreck to them and to their children. It's become an intellectual understanding. Then there's the other group who outnumber the first group, and they lean to the latter rain theology in which they teach that the bride will manifest John 14 and 12. Now, as I mentioned in that sermon, I lean more on the thought of placing John 14, 12 in one man. However, I'm very cautious in doing so, because if we place it fully in one man, then what have you got? You see, if you take what Brother Branham says from the spoken words original seed in paragraph 89, he said, the works that Jesus did, if a man has a seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, that same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God, and if the same Spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. You don't believe that? Well, there's apparently people out there who don't believe that. He said, all right, let's turn over to St. John 14 and 12. You say, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am a believer. I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God calls you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, if you are honest, you cannot read this any other way than what he is saying here, is that if you have the same Spirit that was in Jesus, the same life in you will produce the same works as it did in the original seed. Amen. And he is not teaching here that this is only for one man. Now, I realize there are a few quotes where Brother Brown taught for John. He identified with John 14, 12 as his ministry, because he said, he that believeth in singular is singular and it's a personal pronoun. But I also see this. That the book of Revelations tells us to add one word or take one word. You're going to have to answer for it. And there are other things that Scripture says. Well, as example, Revelation chapter 3. I believe that's the end time prophet when it says, he that heareth my word, I will come in and sup with him. And so we have a prophet who hears it, then he receives it, then he gives it out, and we sup, we have fellowship, right? But that doesn't throw out all the other things he said about John 14:12, so there must be a middle of the road somewhere, and if we're honest, we will find it taking all the scriptures, not just the ones that fit our theology. Now let me give you one that the brothers use. The brothers who use this, they say, this is the evidence that John 14:12, the works Jesus is talking about, is discernment. But catching the wording very carefully as we read what Brother Branham says. Now listen very carefully. From God keeps his word. He says, now there is true Bible signs. I would like to add that signs is plural. Not just one sign, but plural. Or more than one kind of a work. And Brother Branham didn't say, there is true Bible sign. He said there's true Bible signs. Now there is true Bible signs to follow the believers. Amen. I want to iterate that what Brother Branham believes, he says believers, plural, not singular, plural, not just one believer. Jesus said one like this. In other words, Brother Branham is saying, of the many, many signs, there is one like this. That's just one sign. And then he says, he that heareth my words and believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. St. John, the 14th chapter and 7th verse, I believe it is. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. What kind of works did he do? He would stand in the audience. People would come to him. He'd know the very secrets of their hearts. Is that right? And when the Jews come to him, one time a Jewish man stood off by the congregation. His name was Philip. He got saved. He went around behind the mountain, and I'm told it's about a day's journey. And he found his friend, a good sign, he got saved. He believed on the Lord. He said, Philip said to the eunuch, if thou believest with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He never said, if you could show something. He said, if you believe something. So Brother Brown moves from the discernment and he slides it right into believing. Because what good is discernment if you don't believe that discernment? It comes down to belief. Jesus had to accept the revelation of God for him. That he was to be the bleeding, dying lamb, and he had to step into it or forget it. It wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have manifested. So it looks like Brother Branham is taking it from one aspect of discernment and bringing it to another aspect of believing. Because after all, Jesus was the greatest believer because he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, I do all that pleases the Father. That shows he believed all the Father showed him to do. And he did everything asked of him by the Father because he believed his Father. Now from the beginning, and it wasn't so, Brother Branham said, Jesus said at the beginning, the works that I do shall you do also. That's the way it was at the beginning. What kind of works did he do at the beginning? The same works he's doing now. What kind of a church did he have at the beginning? A church that was filled with the Spirit, that healed the sick, prophesied, and great signs and wonders, and it wasn't ashamed of the religion. They shouted and danced under the Spirit like drunk men and had cloven tongues like fire set upon them, and they'd done signs and wonders and exploits followed them. That's the kind it was at the beginning. That's the kind it'll be in the middle. That'll be the kind at the last. Now you say, my church don't teach that. Well, it wasn't so from the beginning. So if your church doesn't teach that, it wasn't so from the beginning. I'm a Methodist. It wasn't so from the beginning. I'm a Baptist. It wasn't so from the beginning. I'm a Lutheran. It wasn't so from the beginning. They were baptized saints of God with the Holy Ghost. That's what the beginning was. Signs and wonders. You say, my church don't believe in it. It wasn't so from the beginning. My church don't believe in seeing visions. It wasn't so from the beginning. My church says the days of miracles is past. It wasn't so from the beginning. My church don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't so from the beginning. Now I know that there are many who are paranoid about me using quotes like this because they see the fanaticism of those out there who claim to believe the message, and all they seek after are signs and gifts, but who have no time for the doctrine. So they avoid these quotes, but we must never do that. We must embrace all the Word and not part of it that fits our belief system. Now let me tell you something. Just because others may be sign seekers doesn't mean that we should fear that God might do something in our midst. God help us when we get that attitude that we're afraid to call on Him to help us in time of need. You don't know all the flack that I've taken because God did something over the church that I was preaching in Congo. When that horizontal rainbow came down, moved up the city and sat over the church while I was preaching. Now they say, well, you're trying to make something of it. No, I'm not. Because I didn't see it. I was there. They took the films. They took the camera. Their camera. The camera didn't lie, as Brother Branham said. And when God said to William Branham, I mean, spoke in his heart that still voice and said, you know, when that thing happened, he said, this is to confirm that what you've been teaching about it, me is a truth. That's all it is. I don't make no big show. It's not me, it's a message. As Brother Bram said, it's not me, it's a message. I can say the same thing. That's not vindicating me, it's vindicating the message. It's the same message. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It didn't say that many signs and wonders were done by the individual. Now let's look to Acts 2:41. We read about the early church. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice that's number one. And then fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. It didn't say that many signs and wonders were done by the individuals, but by the apostles. Therefore, the atmosphere had to be right for the supernatural to take place, and it could not be right without the doctrine first, then fellowship and prayers of the saints. Now, let me read a wonderful quote that I've been using for about 30 years concerning John 14 and 12 in order for us to better understand. From Supersign, Brother Bram said, he said, many people wanted to accept Jesus. They thought they'd do it in some other convenient time, one said. They wanted to accept Christ, but they put it off too long. Some of them tried to get him off their hands and tried to wash him off with water, pass the buck to somebody else, but it backfired. It's on your hands tonight, thrown right back in your lap. Hebrews 13:8, regardless of how many councils of churches we have, still remains Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now that's Hebrews 13:8 he's quoting. But then he says, the works that I do, and he's quoting John 14 and 12. The works that I do not, and I'm going to interject here, that's John 14 and 12. He says, in his life, if his life is in you, it'll manifest Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you all can't be that one. If his life is in you, it'll manifest Jesus Christ. You all can't be that one. But you can be part of that with your faith. All of them couldn't be a Jesus when they was on earth, but they could believe in him and accept the message. There was one Moses, one Elijah, one Noah, all down, always been that, but the rest of them could accept it, and they would have had no ministry unless there had been somebody believe it. Jesus would have had no ministry unless somebody believed it. Paul would have had no ministry unless somebody believed it. The Holy Ghost has got no ministry by the word today unless somebody's willing to get away from their creeds and come back to the word again. No matter how well it's here and how real it is, it's here now. I know it's here. I feel it. I know it's here. The word says it's here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. And I truly believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you see, it's within a group. Now, maybe one person in the group. He said, you all can't be that one. But he didn't say it was just himself, because he said Paul, Elijah, Noah, all these men down the ages. You see? It is not speaking of every individual, but it is among a certain group of elect people. And God has never left his people without a witness. As I said in Sermon 255 in this series, I know that some in the message teach that the works and the greater works will be manifested in the bride or church, and that is not totally correct. Well, it is not correct at all. Then we also have those who teach that St. John 14 and 12 applies only to William Branham because we saw only the greater works in him. Now, this is partially true, because the greater works were done in William Branham. And Brother Brown taught us, and the scripture teaches, actually, if you look up the Greek word, the word greater means more in number. And Brother Branham even said, the Holy Spirit did more in my ministry than he did in his own son. So, but you can't just take one quote here and one quote there and establish your doctrine with it. You have to take everything back to the word to establish the doctrine, because although you have several quotes where Brother Bram says, you all can't be that one, and he is singular and a personal pronoun, yet on the other hand, he also denies that John 14:12 is for only one person, and he says it in the following quote. From his sermon, Question and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, 1964, August 30th. Brother Brown said, and he's reading the question, and will every true believer do the works that Jesus said, as stated in John 14 and 12? Not exactly, no. And then if they use this part of the quote, and they don't go on with the rest of the quote, they're dishonest in their heart. And that's exactly what took place this last week. A friend of mine received an email from a certain person, tell him that I was false and I was off the word, because they showed this part of the quote. It says, and will every true believer do the works that Jesus said, as stated in John 14:12? Not exactly, no. Well, Brother Brown did say that, but you got to read on. Will every true believer do the works that Jesus said, as stated in John 14:12? Not exactly, no. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. I don't think that's in St. John 14, but it's all right, it's Mark 16. Or is this only to be Elijah? Here's the question. Or is this only to be Elijah? And the person didn't put that down. Must the believer do all that really believe? And if he really is a believer, will he raise the dead and do great miracles? Now, that is amongst the believers. See, every man doesn't have those gifts, and that don't mean that just one person will do it. There'll be groups of people. Like, for instance, what if we had a little girl here in the church, or a little boy, or somebody that we really love, and life would go out of them. The whole church would get together, and they'd go to fasting and prayer. And Lord have mercy on that child, see, and God would raise up that child. How many ever read the Nicene Fathers in them? You know, that's the way that they did in the early church. They all get together, you know, and even raise up their pastor sometime, and different ones like that, if God sees fit to do it, but they did it. You see, a person wrote another question to Brother Branham and said, is it true, Brother Branham, that you could speak the word and the resurrection would begin? He said, well, that's a good statement. That's a good statement, a good thought. But he said, but what you're forgetting is that I never asked for those squirrels. Because the person said, you know, based on the squirrels and those things, he said, I never asked for those things. He said, those were sovereignly given. You see, what they're failing to recognize is the whole plan of God is that he had an obedient son, and the works wasn't the things he did. That's the things God did. Jesus said the son can do nothing of himself. But whatsoever the father doeth, that the son doeth likewise. So what are the works? It's not the miracles. It's not the discernment. It's the obedience. That's what the son did. The son was simply obedient to step into the vision and do what the father was doing in the vision. And to say that that is not possible for those who are filled with the Spirit of God, they don't know the spirit of adoption. They have no clue as to what's taking place in this hour. Now notice he said, just because I'm saying that it is not everyone that will do those things does not mean that there will only be one person that will do that. So that question and that answer shoots down the notion that there is only one who is qualified for the works, because that is what he's talking about here, the works. He did not say the greater works. He said the works will not be done by all, but it will be done by ones in the group, and that fits Acts 2:43, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now here's the thing that I'm trying to get across. I know there are those who believe the bride is going to be some super-duper church, and they're looking for signs and wonders, and they have on them that latter rain spirit. They are looking for the manifestation of the sons of God, but they don't realize what that manifestation of the Son of God was. So they're looking for signs and wonders, but Balaam had signs and wonders, and Jannes and Jambres had signs and wonders. So if you want to know what the manifestation of the sons of God is, then you have to ask yourself, what was the manifestation of the Son of God? What manifested him as the Son of God? It wasn't signs and wonders, because Balaam had them, Jannes and Jambres had them. No. It was his obedience to the Father. And that's what Brother Branham said. He said, not all sons will be adopted. He said, but those that are about their father's business, there it is, right there. So the works that I do, what's that? Obedience to the Father. These signs are he that believeth on me, the works that I do, and what's that? Being obedient to the Father. And even greater works shall he do. What's that? Well, that's the ministry where God came down and did greater works. William Brown didn't do a thing. I'm sorry, but he didn't heal one person. And if you say he did, you're going to call Brother Brown a liar, because he said he didn't. He said, I'm not a divine healer. God's a divine healer. He was obedient. And so to say that obedience, which to me is the only works that a true son can do, is just to obey. And to say that that does not fall amongst the people, I don't know what they're looking at. I have no clue what they're looking at. You see? But they've got this fear that binds them. Because somebody makes a statement, they got, well, he said it this way. Well, why don't you call the person and ask him? Well, Brother Vail said, John 14:12. He said, Brother Vail, if you look at every time he said it, he said the greater works. He never said the works. He said the greater works. He said, John 14:12, the greater works. That's one man. And I believe that 100%. Because Brother Brown said, the Holy Spirit did more in my ministry than he did in his own son's ministry. That's greater. But the works themselves, they've got to be in the believers. They've got to be amongst you. You see? What manifested Jesus as the Son of God was the obedience of the Father in all things. The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. That was his works. I believe that's the things we should be seeking for. To empty ourselves out. Become nothing so that God can have his way in our lives. And to take my words and try to persuade others that I'm seeking manifestations and gifts is totally dishonest. You don't go looking to produce signs and wonders because that's the mindset that God could never use. But to come to the place of full surrender and emptying out, then God can use that, and he will. Because he promised he would. From his sermon, Remembering the Lord, Brother Bram said, how wonderful to think that he promised this, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. The world won't see me, but yet you'll see me. Oh, where two or three are assembled in my name, I'll be there in their midst. I remember that. You remember that, brethren? Yeah, see? The works that I do, they'll do also. That's not singular. Notice here that Brother Brown places a plural, they, and not he, from John 14 and 12. Then he says, what kind of works did he do? There you are, see? Oh, well, of course, now, Brother Branham, that was for another day. It's not that. I remember that's what he said. I don't remember what you said. That's all gone, see? But I remember what he said. He said, he that will come after me will deny himself, deny his own thoughts, deny his own thinking. Brother Branham is letting us know. That's the works. Deny. He that will come after me will deny himself. Now, I will say this. No one was a better example of that in this hour than William Branham. He denied everything. As far as family, as far as friends, as far as everything goes in place of God. And if we could be just that disciplined and that obedient and that emptied out, perhaps God could use us as well. So you see, he's pointing to the works as that of getting yourself out of the way. And in fact, if you listen to me on a regular basis, you know that that's what I've always been referring to. But those who pop in and out and try to find some fault will see something and grab it and go away. And they will not change, nor will they get themselves out of the way so that Christ can have preeminence in their life. And I believe they are missing a whole lot that could help them if they would just get into the spirit of the composer. The whole argument boils down to what your perception of works that Jesus is talking about in John 14 and 12. That's the whole argument. What are the works? They believe it's discernment. And the other group believes it's the supernatural signs and wonders. And so whatever you believe those works are, then that is what sways your thinking concerning what Jesus is saying here. Personally, I'll take what Brother Branham said the works of the Son of God were. So listen carefully to what Brother Branham explains as the works of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, are. From his sermon, Faith, Brother Branham said, now, I want to ask you something. When Jesus Christ, God's Son, was here on earth, what kind of works did he do? Let's see what he did. He said, I do nothing till the Father shows me first by vision. Is that right? St. John 5:19? No. No, he said, I don't do it myself. I do nothing. I can do nothing till the Father shows me first. You see, the works are obedience to the Father, a vessel, a son who is emptied out, ready to be used by his Father. The fact, Brother Branham said, the greatest gift of all is to get yourself out of the way so God can use you. And he said that's what he had. He said, I just have a little gift to get myself out of the way. Now, wouldn't you like to have that little gift, John? I would. I long for that. In fact, that's what I preach for. And as Brother Vail said, he said, you're going to get what you preach for. And he told me that last night. I was talking to him about this. I said, Brother Vail, I pray that the people, and what I preach for is that the people can come to the place where they can empty out and become nothing so that God can become something in them. And he said, Brother, he said, Brian, preach it. And he said, you'll get the results you're preaching for. Again, we see the same thing in Christ, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Jesus, when he was here on earth, the works and signs and wonders that he did then, how will he do it? again tonight. He will do it every time that his word is put to a showdown. He will do it. Notice Brother Branham's not saying, you will do it. He will do it. Jesus said, the works that I do shall he do also. What works did Jesus do? Again, I'm asking you, what works did he do? He said, I can do nothing. So it's not the things that were done. It was the obedience and following what the Father was showing him to do. Hallelujah. Are we saying that there's only one person that can do that? Because listen, Brother Brown said, if the same Spirit that was in him is in you, the same works will be in you. And as I mentioned last week, some were teaching back in the 60s from the tabernacle. There was a brother, and he taught, he said, it wasn't, well, anyway, I won't say who he was, but he said, he taught a belief that Brother Branham was the only person who had the Holy Ghost. Because his eyes were focused on the miracles. And the miracles to him was John 14:12. You see, I wasn't interested in the miracles when I came to this message because I saw miracles as a Catholic. People would crawl up their knees at St. Anne's Basilica in Montreal and get healed. The witch doctors, Brother Branham said, they would worship, they'd fall down and worship. And he said, and if they believed that that tree would give you healing, that you're going to get your healing because it's based on your faith. So I've never looked at the signs and wonders. I look at the doctrine. Because the doctrine is what sets you in order. My ministry as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Brown said, is a setter in order. It's not that I act being this way. That's the way he made me. And I don't say that to boast. I say that to be humble. Because if I could have my druthers, there's 640 acres waiting for me out there in Babb, Montana. It's got 4,500 feet of lakeshore. And I've got my eyes on that. And that's my dream. And I'd rather be there than standing here today. I'm sorry. I'm just tired of all the fussing. I'm tired of all the fighting that goes on in this message. Why can't people just be humble before God? Have an open heart before God. And say, well, the brother's trying to do something to help people. Let's get behind him. No, they've got to tear you down. I'm not building a kingdom for Brian Kosorik because I don't want it. I've seen where men get to a place where the people begin to idolize that man, and then God does something. He allows that man to fall. I don't want you people to ever look to me like that because I don't want to fall. I don't want the 4x4 that comes when the people get to the place where they look to the man more than they should. I'm your brother, and I have, an understanding here that Brother Branham was no bigger than you or I. He was a simple brother who was obedient. And when he wasn't, God hammered him till he was afraid for his life. He wanted to take a pistol, blow his brains out. Couldn't even do that. Put his hand to the line to die. Couldn't even do that. God haunted that man from a time of his child. You say haunt? Yeah. It was scary to that man. Took his wife, took his child. You don't think he learned obedience by the things that he suffered? Now sometimes, you know, you think, well, I can be an obedient son. You know, there's only one way of getting there. Because you still have this cockaburr nature in you. And that's by suffering. And so you take a stand for the word and you will suffer for that stand that you take. And those people don't realize they're anointed by a spirit. It's a jealous spirit. And that's all I'm going to say about that. The Brother Ram said from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, what kind of works did he do? Well, he didn't entertain too big of crowds. He'd have up to 5,000 in a crowd, but the Sanhedrin could have called 2 million into a crowd. So he didn't say that he just drew the biggest crowds in the country. That doesn't mean that he was right. He didn't dress any different from anybody else. He was no great big man and high stature like Saul. The Bible said there was no beauty that we should desire him. And when we seen him, we hid our faces from him. See? He was just nothing much to look at. But what he was, what makes us love him, he was the Son of God. That's what makes us love him. Someone might say, well, was he a yellow man, black man, white man, brown man? I don't care what he was, what he looked like. He's my Savior. I love him. don't make any difference whether he was big or little or what he was. I love him. For when we are born into him, we become a part of him. We love him, and he is ours, and we are his. But when he was here on earth, he didn't claim that he was a great healer. Frankly, he claimed just the vice versa. He said he wasn't no healer. He said, I can do nothing in myself. Just what I see the Father doing, that's what I do, St. John 5:19. From here you him, Brother Ram said, now watch, God never did anything unless he asked man to do it. But what he did himself. His son, when he was born here on earth, he was an obedient son. Every step was for the Father. Everything he done was to glorify God. And we've seen God in Christ. Is that right? No man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten of the Son has declared him. The very move, the very action, everything that Christ did was God working in him. You get it now? Now I can show you quote after quote, both sides of the issue of John 14:12. So if you quote Brother Brown in one way, then why is it that you're called false because you quote it another way? And yet they are both quoting a vindicated prophet. So let's take a look at a few. From Brother Brown's message called New Ministry, he said, when he was here on earth, he told Peter on the revelation of the Word of God, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Isn't that right? All right. When he was for elect in Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Did he say that? In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things. He also said, the works that I do shall you do also. Is that right? That's the signs that's to follow his church. Didn't say one individual. It's not a denomination. It's set up of an organization ordained of God. God, Holy Ghost filled, heaven-born church that comes out of all denominations, a real believing bunch of people. Now I'm going to bring it down to even one more step. When my daughter Christina was 3.5 years old, she was very ill. And I was to go up to preach at Brother Vail's. He was ill also, and he had gone to Tucson, and he asked me to take his services for 7 months. And so I was going up on Saturday night. I'd go up, get a hotel, and then preach Sunday, and then come back down to our church, which had service at 2 o'clock. And Christina had a fever, a high fever. I think it was 102, 103 degrees, something like that. And so it was about a half hour before I was to go, and so I said, well, Levon, if she's not, I went up and prayed for her. And I said, now, if she's not healed in 30 minutes, I've got to go by myself, and you'll have to stay home with the kids. Well, Elizabeth, she really wanted to go, and she was 4 years old, 4.5 maybe. And she walked up there and she prayed for her sister too. And then she came down. She said, she's healed. We can go. And I said, how do you know? She said, because I prayed for her. We went up, took her temperature. She was healed. So if a 4-year-old child can have prayer answered, then it doesn't place it all in a vindicated prophet. I'm sorry. Brother Branham was a vindicated prophet. He was a obedient son. He was, I believe, an adoptable son. I believe when the sword was placed in his hand, that was a sign of his adoption. Now, I could be wrong on that, but that's what I believe. You're entitled to believe what you want to believe. But the fact is that he was so much like the firstborn son that people thought he was. And that's why they went into deity. Now, from Be Not Afraid, Brother Ram said, and Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I don't do the works of my Father, then... Notice, the works of my Father. The works of my Father. He that believeth on me, the works that I do... What's that? The works of my Father, he shall do also. You understand? Then don't believe me, but if I do the works, and yet you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. So you see, here he was doing the same thing that God did. Now, I want to ask you, brethren, if the life of Jesus Christ is in the church, then surely the church would do the same thing he did. Brother Bram's not saying one person here. He's saying the church. Because the same life is in it. If here stands a peach tree, and I take all the peach life out of it and put apple life in it, what kind of a fruit will it bear? It'll bear apples. That's the kind of life that's in it. Well, then, if the life that was in Christ is in us, it'll bear the fruits that he bore. It's got to. I just wonder how much these people believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and receiving the life of Christ into them. It's all head knowledge. And if that's all it is theology, you can argue theology, both sides of the issue, all day long. They've been doing it for thousands of years. It's got to come a time, brother, sister, that you have that experience with Jesus Christ. Amen. That you know, that you have a certainty, that you are sure where you stand. That you are a son of God. That you're an obedient son. Then you don't have any doubts about what's coming. You don't have any doubts about a rapture. You know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. It's not you're doing it. But it's the blood cleansing, and you've accepted that blood. You believe that blood is powerful enough. You're not the legalist that says that I've got to walk the walk and, you know, like a robot. You say, I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You have a relationship. You have a relaxation. You have an assurance. You have a rest and a peace. And if we don't have that, we're sitting under the wrong teaching. Now in closing, let me show you what Brother Branham explained as to what the greater works are. Because we've all been right, so far we've been talking about the works. And he said the works isn't in just one man. But now we're going to look at some greater works. And brother, we're going to find out what else Brother Branham said about the greater works. Because I know that there are quotes where he said in one place that the word greater means more, and that is true. And there was no one who had more works, more works of Jesus in his ministry than William Branham had in his. In fact, he even said that the Holy Spirit did more in his ministry than he did in the Son of God's earthly ministry. So, I have no problem with that at all. I agree with that, but now I'm going to give you a quote that will stumble you if you're not careful. But I want you to listen to Brother Branham, how he explains and tells us that the greater works are, and he's quoting John 14 and 12. So if you want to apply the greater works even, and I've done it my whole ministry, to William Branham, you're going to have to take this quote also. That day on Calvary, Brother Branham said, now watch, Jesus said, watch how he stated it. The works that I do, now he's talking about the works, not the greater works, he's doing them right now. The works that I'm doing now, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, their works, these works shall you do also. You'll do these if you believe in me. You do these works, and then a greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. A little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet you'll see me. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray to the Father. I'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive, yet you can receive him. Now notice the greater works was to have the power in the church not only to heal the sick, cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to believers. Hallelujah. What? The greater works isn't just the miracles, the discernment, and all this stuff, but it's to impart eternal life to believers. Now listen to what Brother Branham said. He said the greater works, and he's quoting John 14 and 12, the greater works is to impart eternal life to believers. My, my. What are you brothers going to do with that? Huh? Are you so stiff-necked in your doctrine that you will say Brother Brian is teaching contrary to us, so that makes him false? Well, what do you have to say, my brothers? Are you going to say all that the prophets said? Jesus said, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have said. You've made your traditions in such a way that anyone who speaks contrary to your stiff-necked beliefs, you want to crucify. Well, let me tell you one thing, my brother. A vindicated prophet said, and he said all that's on those tapes. He said, say all. Say what's on the tape and say all that's on the tapes. So what are you going to do with that, huh? You brothers, say all that a vindicated prophet said. And I'll tell you why. Because you don't believe it all. And while I'm at it, and forgive me if I sound a little bit hard right now, but while I'm at it, why do you take only part of quotes to make your case for your doctrine, when if you were honest in your heart and believed in vindication, you would take everything that the prophet said and lay it out to balance your doctrine? I tried to do that when I didn't. The Holy Ghost made me to do it that way. Anyway, He said, if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. And if you look at my studies on the Godhead and those things, I put the other quotes in there to bring the balance. But it doesn't take away from the trueness of the doctrine. So, take it all, my brothers, who are reading my notes here, or you that are watching this video, or this listening to this on MP3, because you're going to have to answer to God for that lying spirit that would twist quotes to make them say what you want people to hear. Say it all or don't say nothing. Because you'd be better off saying, I just don't understand, than to say, I do understand it, and then take partial quotes and partial scriptures to make your pet doctrine stick. But alas, you see, the same scene was played out in the hour of Jesus. In John 9:39, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, and they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But because you say that we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now, Brother Branham said, now notice the greater works has to have the power in the church, continuing the same quote, has to have the power in the church not only to heal the sick by prayer, cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to believers. The Holy Ghost was coming and given into the hands of church to impart life. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. It took stooped, degraded men and women and lifted them into a place to become sons and daughters of God, to heal the sick and impart eternal life. By giving the Holy Ghost to obedient believers, men who were once unbelievers be made believers and impart spiritual eternal life. How much greater is it to say to the sick woman laying here, I can pray for her the prayer of faith and she'll be healed. That's a great thing. That's what he was doing then. He said, greater than this shall you do, I'm going to give you power, not only to raise him up for a while, but to give him eternal life, which will be eternal forever. Remember, Jesus went in, and the person needed prayer, and he said, what would be a greater thing? To pray and lay hands on this person, that person get up and walk out? Or to say your sins are forgiven? And for that person to receive eternal life. What would be the greater work for you? To jump over buildings and do all the supernatural, you know, signs and miracles? Or to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and give eternal life to someone else? Where's your burden? To see that last child come in and child trained. Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit to them, they are remitted. Oh, excuse me, let me just read on. He said, now listen very carefully to what he says next. Now, you think I'm tough, you thought Brother Vail was tough, but just listen to what this vindicated prophet of God is telling you, bunch of make-believers who fuss and fight with everything God tries to open your eyes to. He says, poor, blind, wretched people, how do you miss that? Don't you see what the greater thing is? That's the greatest thing that could ever happen was to impart eternal life to people. What is eternal life? The life that he lived. The life that was in him. Impart that to others. Can a man do that? A son of God can. So you believe that there is only one son of God in this hour? I don't. I believe I'm a son of God. I hope you believe you are. Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit to them, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain to them, they are retained. Now, here's where the Catholic Church and many of the others made their big mistake. They go out and they say, I forgive your sins. That wasn't it. How do they get sins forgiven in the Bible? Peter answered that question on the day of Pentecost. They said, what can we do to be saved? How can we get this that you have all got? He laid down the prescription. He told them what to do. He said, repent, every one of you, towards God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? The remission of your sins. There's the greater works. And we're going to see that this morning. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 8 and in verse 11, and remember this, if a person is truly repentant, and they're willing to die to self, and when we put, the minute we put them under the water, and pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over them, God is obligated from that very moment to give them the Holy Ghost. Eternal life. Imparting eternal life. That's the greater works. I like that. Paul said in Romans 8 in verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now what does that mean? This body is a mortal body. Those people, they believe, well, you know, when we die, our mortal body be raised up. No, it's not a mortal body that's in the grave. That's a dead carcass. The mortal body is this. Mortal means that which can die. Once it's died, it's no longer mortal. And he said, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will quicken, bring to life this body. The body of this death. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said. O grave, where's your sting? O death, where's your victory? He said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God for Jesus Christ who has given me the victory. And in closing, Brother Rand said in a sermon, the spoken word's original seed, paragraph 89, he said, the works that Jesus did, if a man has a seed of God in him with the Spirit of God watering that seed, that same works that was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God. And if the same Spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. You don't believe that, all right, because there's people that don't believe that. I know one person for sure doesn't believe that. I hope he does now. You don't believe that, all right, let's turn over to St. John 14. You said, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God calls you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. Then the works will be manifested, paragraph 91, then the works will be manifested in him are the same. For it is the same seed word of God. God's Son was His example seed. And what His life was when the Spirit poured upon Him after His baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon Him, the very life that He produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost, will bring forth the same kind of life doing the same thing that He did if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God's seed. Now shame on you women with bobbed hair and shame on you preachers denying that truth. And shame on you ministers trying to make a fuss over your little pet doctrines and causing division because another minister doesn't say it the way that you want it to be said. Who made you the absolute anyway? Take all of it, my brothers. Take all of it or suffer the consequences stated in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 19. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't like to be so strong with your word, but I see death entering into this message with camps being set up and vying for position against one another. And because we might not be able to circle or be in their circle, they just don't criticize, Father. They try to destroy. And then all of this fussing that goes on around the world, and what has it produced? Sons and daughters of God ready for a rapture? I hardly think so, Father. It seems to me, Lord, that the people were far better off in the early 70s when they didn't know hardly anything, but their hearts wanted to know the truth. And they longed for the truth and they cried out for the resurrection to take them from here. But as Israel was bound by their kings that they could not follow the real king, and the real king, when he did come, they didn't recognize him. So is it today, O Lord, the King of glory has appeared in the form of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, they don't know it. They don't recognize it. They're so organized, so tight, that they do not understand it because it's not in their organization. Lord, this is the work of the devil that's done this to the people. But may the Samson of God, may the true in heart, those who are longing and crying and pleading and holding on, may they stay with it, Lord, until this new crop grows out, until there comes forth again a joy in Zion, and there comes forth a group that can recognize and understand, that can see the Messiah and the hidden powers that's hid from the world that they will not understand now. Grant, Lord, that they'll see this, for we ask it humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know
I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
At this time, if we could depart downstairs for the baptism.
I know whom I have.